Hello, and welcome back to SaaS Stories and Sarcasm. We're your hosts, Mary and Brian, and this is episode 127. Brian, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Mary. Well, as of last podcast, I mentioned I was looking at apartments and, you know, potential upgrades from my current one where the lease ends basically mid-March. And I have some great news for you guys. Drum roll. Yeah. So I found an apartment, and like I think it was the one I was mentioning earlier that I just hadn't signed the lease for. But basically with this one, I get access to a gym, which is closed, but I still get access to it eventually.
Someday when it opens.
Someday. And I get access to a parking lot, which I don't currently have. And it's overall just better built. I believe the building was built like, what, 2 years ago?
2019.
So yeah, it's a relatively new unit. I think I get more square feet, and it's for $100 less per month. So it's win. And, you know, win. So I jumped on that as soon as possible. I'm like, here's my buddy. Take it. Put my name
down. And you're going to be my neighbor.
Yeah. And so it's like a block away from.
Not a block. It's across the street.
That's a block. It's on the other side of the block.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah. I'm sticking with that. It's a block.
It's not, but okay.
All right. Well,
you walk outside the door, across the street.
No, but my apartment's on the other end of the building. So
I'm saying the building is though.
Okay. Well, anyways. So yeah, I signed the lease. I believe the move-in date is, I think it's the 13th.
Mid-March.
13th of March. So yeah, all I have to do now is get my own apartment to confirm the fact that I'm leaving. I sent them a notice, and well, they haven't responded yet, but you know, they don't respond that often, quite frankly. They're probably just crying right now because they're losing such a great tenant. But anyways, so that's the goal. I'm going to be moving in, you know, mid-March into a new spot. Very exciting. And I'm super excited because this is closer to basically downtown, the downtown stuff where
Brian was honestly thrilled when he realized that
he could walk to the
eye doctor.
Yeah, my eye doctor is like, you know, within walkable distance. I think it's like 10-minute walk. Primary care, I think it's like another 10-minute walk.
Great.
It's, like I am set, people. You know, Safeway is like, you know what, 3 blocks away. Oh my God, my whole world. But anyways, yeah, so I'm extremely excited about this. I'm already starting to think about how I'm going to, you know, move and, you know, package everything up, but, that's not going to happen until at least, March, but, that's my big news for the week. How about you?
I don't have big news like that. I think I said last week that I renewed my lease.
Oh,
so,
that's big.
Yeah. And let's see, this week didn't do too much. Been working on my crafts.
Oh, do you want to talk about, you may not want to talk about this, but do you want to talk about if, since you referred me more or less, there might be a prize that comes along with that?
Yes. There's differing information on the website, but because I referred Brian, I might be getting some money after he moves in. So that's exciting stuff.
You're welcome, Mary. You're welcome. Actually, I should be thanking you because you helped me find this pretty good spot, but either way, it's win-win once again.
Yeah, but as I was saying, this week I did some crafts and just been working, and nothing too exciting. It's nothing too big. But this week, Gonzaga only had one game, and do you want to talk about that a little bit, Brian?
Right, so we played against Pacific, and you know, Pacific's not usually, you know, the top of the WCC. They're somewhere in the middle. I was reading a quote from Mark Few, and basically he was talking about how Gonzaga wasn't doing as well in the last two games against the top ranked teams. I mean, we still won, but they were a little bit closer. So he pushed his squad to step up the defense, and they did just that. Basically by the end of the first half, the score is 52-21. And by the end of the game, the score was 95-49. So that's like almost doubling pretty much. Drew Timmy got 22 points. Suggs almost got a triple double. Kispert got 16 points. IIE got 12 points. So it was all around, you know, a good win. And, you know, once again, since defense was Mark Few's theme that he wanted Gonzaga to work on, So while Gonzaga shot 49% from the field, Pacific just made 27.9% of their attempts. So, and there were two of 16, I should say, from 3-point range. So that's really good. They only, I don't even know what that fraction is, or that decimal is, 2 of 16, but that's really bad. And 27%, that's like almost making one out of every four shots. That's really good defense on our part. I'm glad that we stepped up to the challenge that Mark Few set for the Zags.
Next up, we have a game on Thursday, the 28th, against San Diego at 6 p.m. And then there's another game on Saturday, the 30th, against Pepperdine at 5 p.m. So watch those games. I'll be watching.
Look out for those games. Yep.
Shopping online can be a real hassle. You have to jump from tab to tab, comparing prices and trying coupon codes to make sure you're getting the best deal. Let me introduce you to Honey, the world's most popular money-saving app and browser extension. I use Honey all the time. Whenever I'm about to check out online, I click the button and it finds me the best coupon code available and instantly applies them to my cart. Honey is totally free. In fact, the only thing it can do is save you money. Get the Honey browser extension by going to sassstorysarcasm.com/honey and start saving some money today. And this week we're going to welcome back to the podcast Elise Sevi. She's been on the podcast several times, but welcome back, Elise. How are you doing?
Oh, thanks. I'm good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah. How has your 2021 started so far?
It's been, you know,
moving along.
Like, yeah. 2020 with bangs. It's been good. At the end of 2020, I actually got to get my first COVID shot, so that was pretty exciting.
Yeah, because she works as a medical scribe, for any of you that don't know.
Yeah, so definitely, you know, one of the first people to get the shot. How'd it go?
One did you get?
Which version did you get?
Yeah, so since I work in the emergency room, they were kind of prioritizing people who are in ERs or like COVID units, frontline workers, which makes sense. And I was just extremely, extremely lucky to be able to be a part of that first group. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to give up that opportunity. I personally got the Pfizer vaccine, but some of the other scribes that I work with and some of the other physicians got Moderna, but basically the same.
All right.
After the first shot, like, my arm was kind of sore. I should have used it a little bit more because had a hard time pulling up my pants.
Is this different than any other shot? Or because, you know, sometimes when you get shot, you know, you get a little bit of muscle soreness or
absolutely.
A little bit more, a little bit less.
I'd say it's similar to a tetanus shot. You know, when you get a tetanus shot and you kind of just feel like, oh, that was, yeah, my arm feels that. Mm-hmm. That was kind of like the first shot after Pfizer. I definitely had some arm soreness and maybe fatigue, but I feel like sometimes with my varied schedule,
sometimes it's just life and you're fatigued.
Yeah, sometimes it's just life. And then about a week ago now, I actually got my second shot. And after that one, I had like my armpit was sore, probably from my lymph node. Mm-hmm. I had some body aches and chills, and I was super fatigued. Like, I was very tired. And that kind of came onset like 12 hours after the shot and then lasted for like 24 hours. And then I was like, boom, instantly good to go. So,
but the second shot hurt, or like more symptoms after the second shot than the first one.
Yes. And I think that's how most people are experiencing it, but doesn't mean that some people are having, you know, symptoms after the first shot and then having less symptoms after the second. So it's probably just how your body reacts. I liked knowing that my body was doing something. I was like, yes, it's doing what it's supposed to. So
yeah, it's supposed to react to it.
Totally. Like, the symptoms and stuff were worth it.
Oh yeah, for sure. Definitely better than having
dying.
COVID.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
And now you're what, like 96% immune or something like that?
Yeah, I think after the first shot, you reach like 80%. Protection, and then after the second, I don't know how many days it is, you know slowly creep up to that 96%. So pretty cool.
So exciting. And you're one of the few people that I know that's gotten it so far. I mean, Brian, you said your mom has gotten it too, but I don't know many other people.
Yeah. Who knows when the rest of us normal civilians will get the shot, but Until then, we'll stay bunkered down, hiding under our rocks.
Well, I mean, Brian's a little more under a rock than most people, I'd say.
That is true.
This is real. This is true life. Yeah.
Just even outside of COVID, but yeah.
Yeah.
Brian, did you look outside today? Just wondering.
I see that your blinds are still closed.
Still
right,
closed.
Now I just officially did right now. No, I looked outside in the morning when I was watering my little Christmas tree. I'm keeping it alive. It's great. You know, it's pretty
have
gray
you
outside.
Named
so
your Christmas, you should name it.
Do we name trees? Is that like
you
a thing?
You can name plants. Yeah, why yeah. not?
Mm. Well, I'll think of a name, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I never named my car. I never named anything really, but we'll see if I can think of a Christmas tree name.
It could be it could be Chris Pine, you know?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Did you just think of that off the top of your head?
I did.
Wow.
Indeed.
Oh my gosh.
Well, that's going to be the name of the tree. Because
yeah, Chris Pine. We'll name it officially Chris Pine. All right. Chris Pine
is
alive and well.
I was asking Brian if it's grown since he got it like a month and a half ago, and he said it hasn't. So I don't know what he's doing.
Well, I said it hasn't grown. I don't think it's grown. But then again, I haven't like, you know, marked its little height like up against a wall like it's like some grown child. But you know, it hasn't shrunk either. So I guess that's a good sign.
I haven't killed it yet.
That. Yeah, well, I haven't killed
it's
it
like
yet.
Like your own personal toddler.
Yeah.
The one thing he takes care of. He keeps his blinds open just so it can get light.
Yeah.
Except apparently not today.
No. My blinds are open just enough for it to get light and not for me to get light.
Oh.
There we go.
He's like a vampire.
Exactly.
Well, now we're going to talk about The Bachelorette The Bachelor, because we have lots to cover. And we haven't talked about it since the first week where we just talked about all the women. But we're going to go through the next, you know, past 3 weeks, and we're going to save all of you like 6 hours worth of TV time. And we did the work for you.
Mm-hmm. So much drama. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There are still lots of women left, but I'd say the two that you need to know are Queen Victoria and Sarah, and the rest of them so far don't matter too much. I mean, we'll talk about other ones too.
Right.
But those are the ones to keep
in mind. For the starting ones, those are the first two to watch.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
I agree.
So week two started off with a one-on-one date with Bree, and they went ATVing, and this is when they fell off the ATV and
into the mud.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And
yeah.
Then they took, and then of course in classic Bachelor fashion, there was a hot tub.
Oh yeah. And they have Matt chop the wood for the wood fired hot tub.
Yeah, so they show him being some lumberjack, which apparently is attractive. So, you see like an image of, you know, the girl like going, oh my God, he's chopping wood.
This is also the first instance where we see Matt kissing with his eyes open.
Oh, true.
Oh,
this is a big story.
Oh my God, I cannot handle it. I'm like, dude, who are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking
I think
at
he has to keep his eyes open so he can keep track of which woman he's kissing.
Oh, that's true. Like
that might be it.
He's like, I've never done this before. I don't know. I can barely remember who I'm talking to. So I just need to keep my eyes open while I'm kissing them.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be like, you know, saying the wrong person's name, because that's always the worst.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's it. But yeah, most people close their eyes. I don't know why, but it's just a thing.
There's firework exploding over the resort, and then the women like rush outside and they're like, oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. This means that they're kissing right now. And yeah, they just, of
yes,
course,
they are
jealous.
Yes. I feel like the girls on this season are so young.
Yeah.
And it just a lot of different personalities that do not go together.
Yeah, they're a lot of emotionally insecure people here.
Okay, but what were the casting directors?
That might be like,
sorry, go ahead.
That might be normal, I guess, for, you know, bachelorette episodes. But they are like, what, 22 to 28, like that range, I think.
Yeah, about.
Yeah,
but like what were the casting directors supposed to do? Because Matt doesn't even know what he wants. And so they just had to cast a wide net. And just,
yeah, he's never been in love before, apparently. So they're just like grabbing everyone out there and throwing them in.
pretty much.
True.
So then after that, we cut to some drama at the house. Queen Victoria and Marilyn are roommates. And Victoria tells us that Marilyn is psychologically disturbed and she doesn't feel safe sleeping in the same room as her. So then they show her carrying all her pillows and blankets out to the living room and sleeping on the couch like a queen would.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, she just, she made a big scene and decided to sleep out in the living room, which is going to be weird. Like if all the other girls like wake up and like go into the living room, there's Queen Victoria just sleeping on the couch.
Don't they have this entire like resort to themselves? They can't find one extra room.
Yeah. I don't understand why they have roommates. I think there's like 500 rooms in this area, like in this hotel. Yeah,
like, there's not one more you could pop Queen Victoria into.
Yeah, that is a good point. I doubt they filled up every single room in this place.
Maybe it's all huge. Of her tiaras are in one room. She needs just a lot of room.
There you go.
Her fur coats are in another one.
Yeah, and all of her random dresses with bras that don't match and just hang out the back of her dress. And every single time we've seen her.
I also swear she has like a sty on her eye during half of it or something. Something's happening.
I'm
concerned for Queen Victoria.
In just many ways, we haven't even begun to cover all of the ways. But then up next, there was a group date, and there was 18 women on this group date, so we're not even going to list them because they don't even matter. Probably none of them are even going to win. They're split up, so they like put on like wedding dresses, and they like take pictures with Matt, and then after that, they go into the woods in their wedding dresses.
And they do like some paintball capture something, right?
Capture the heart. And you know they're fighting over love and they're like, oh, if I get the heart then Matt's gonna like me more, like stupid stuff like that. And the rules I think were pretty unclear.
They also were shooting paint at each other, right?
Yeah.
And like if you got tagged, it didn't make sense as like, okay, who got tagged? I think they just were like free for all, go for it.
Yeah, and whoever won, they got more time with Matt and like normal. But I didn't understand how to win this game, honestly.
Yeah, I don't. They just had to capture the heart. But
there you go.
Then there was the one-on-one date with Sarah, and they fly around on a plane for their date. And then at the dinner part, she opens up and tells him that her dad has ALS and that she's left her career and is his full-time caretaker. At this point, I really liked Sarah. I thought that she was like a front runner. Of course, it was really early in the season.
Yeah,
and it's a really touching moment. You know, she's, explaining like one of her vulnerabilities and, you know, something, you know, she may be insecure about, like, or not insecure, but, you know, concerned about her parents. Mm-hmm.
Opening up, being honest. Yeah,
I thought that they had good chemistry in this date at least, but we'll talk about her more later.
Yep.
Then there's more drama, and Victoria says that Marilyn has to go home. And so basically she'll do anything that she needs to. She just goes up to Matt and tells him that, you know, Marilyn's psycho, and he's never done this before.
He's
so
very gullible.
He just believes everything that any woman tells him, so he naturally sends home Marilyn.
Bad choice, Matt.
I know.
So this is like a theme. This marks the beginning of Victoria becoming like a bully and like the villain, quote unquote, of this season.
I think she came in pretty hot the first night, though.
Yeah, that's true. But she
established herself.
That is true. That is true.
The first night.
But if you didn't know by then, now you definitely know.
Now you do. Yes. Now you know for sure.
Yeah. So you know, like you said, Mary. You know, like she called out Marilyn, called her psycho, and Matt's like, maybe she is. So you know, at the end of the day, and they're doing the rose ceremony. You know, it came down to Victoria or Marilyn. And then guess who Matt chose?
Victoria.
He chose Victoria. Yeah.
But before he even decided on this, Sarah was standing on the risers and she almost passed out. And she already had a rose.
She did pass out. Yeah. She fainted. Like they had to take her away or whatever.
See, she already had a rose from their one-on-one date. And so everyone was like, wow, she's just getting more attention, blah, blah, blah. Like this girl had literally fallen off the bleachers and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that she would take more time. I need that time.
Yeah, she's like having a medical emergency. Yeah. And they're like, how dare she?
Right. Yeah. And the producers are eating this up meanwhile. They're like, yes, more drama.
Mm-hmm. And they probably dehydrated her, like didn't give her, you know, you don't know what they're doing over there. trying to get some drama stirred
up. I think they film those, as what I've read, is like they film all night long. So like they literally start at 6 o'clock at night and then go until 6 in the morning. And that's ridiculous. That's
well, because you've seen sometimes, I don't know about this week, but they have shown like women going out to the limo to leave and it's like daylight.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So that was the end of week two. And so then, you know, we pick up right where we left off and, you know, he's comforting Sarah. And this is really the episode, I think, that we find out that he has no idea what he's doing. He has no idea how to manage the drama. And he believes every single thing that the woman tell him.
Right.
I mean, just more of the same.
I just don't even think he is aware that there's like drama happening. I think he's just like off in his own like little magical world with each of the girls.
Yeah, I think actually in this week's episode, we'll jump to that later, but in this week's episode, at one point, he's like, you know, I like that you guys are all becoming friends. I'm like,
oh, I love
none
that
of
line.
Them are becoming yeah. friends.
And that girl's like, oh, that's not what I'm talking about. But that's coming up later.
Yeah.
Little do you know, Matt.
So, you know, he comforts Sarah and, you know, sends home a few women. Doesn't matter who they are. It's too early in the season to care.
Yeah, but at this point, ever since he decided to comfort Sarah, Victoria's like, I have to get rid of Sarah now. Sarah is my next target.
Yeah, Marilyn, she got Marilyn out. Next up is Sarah. She's like, but one by one, I'm going to pluck every one of them out and I'm going to become Matt's wife. I'm going to be the winner. But next up is a group date. The first group date of this episode, women are told to write and recite a love scene starring themselves as Matt. And they recite it for all the other women, including the ones that are not on the date. So it was very uncomfortable for everyone, including people watching and people like us viewing it at home. It was also mostly bleeped out. So, yeah. Sarah's not on this date, and she decides to actually crash the night portion, which she's insecure, so she wants to talk to Matt. Like, I understand that, but also you have to think in this situation. Normally, okay, if you're dating someone and you're insecure, go talk to them. But when he has 30 other girlfriends, it's not the time.
Yeah, you don't talk to him during another date. You don't interrupt someone during their date, period.
You talk to him when it's, you know, the producers tell you to talk to him, basically. Not, you don't just show up.
Well, but maybe the producers encouraged her to go.
Oh, I'm sure they did.
Who knows?
But obviously, the other women do not like this at all. And they're already mad at her for, you know,
fainting.
Having a one-on-one date and fainting, now crashing their group date. It wasn't the best time to come. So, you know, she talks to Matt about how she's insecure, whatever. Then she's like, you know what, before I go back to my room, I'm going to tell the other women that I did this and just clear the air and, you know, they'll understand.
Ugh,
they do not understand. They did not understand, and especially Victoria and Katie are especially confrontational, and yeah, it did not, it backfired.
I feel like Sarah waited in the room too long, you know, mm-hmm. and the longer you wait, the longer it gets worse.
Awkward, yeah.
You know, so I think she did not do herself a service there at all.
But she thought she was. She really thought that she was trying, she was doing the right thing.
She thought she was like, I'm going to be an adult about this. Little did she know everyone else would be an adult about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So basically so then, she kind of united the entire house, or at least most of the house, against her at that moment, which
the is only time so far that we've seen them all band together, except for somewhat kind of in this most recent episode.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the next morning, you know, he's supposed to go on a one-on-one date with Serena P. So he goes to the house to pick her up. And, you know, he's looking at all the women saying good morning, hello. And he's like, where's Sarah? And they're like, well, she's up in her room. She's upset. And so she's like, he's like, let's pause the one-on-one date. I need to go comfort her. Which, how does that make everyone else feel, Matt? Not good. But he doesn't think that way. He thinks, I have a connection with this girl. Other people won't mind. Especially the girl he's about to go on a date with.
Yeah, so he puts that on hold. And then he goes over to her room or whatever and, you know, hangs out with her for... I remember he promised 5 minutes or whatever, but the girls were counting and they're like, this is more than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So yeah, he eventually does go on the date with Serena and they ride horses. And we also discover again that his longest relationship he's ever had was 4 months. And now he's on national TV dating like 25 plus women. So it makes sense that he's overwhelmed and has no idea what he's doing. He also, for some reason, lets her know that he loves turtles during this date. Very deep conversations being had. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of curious as to why maybe he hasn't had a longer relationship. I mean, if people know him, I'm sure girls have been, you know, trying.
Yeah.
Maybe he just hasn't been interested. Who knows? But I don't know. So kind of.
Yeah, I was a little concerned about that. I'm like, well, if you never.
Yeah, I wonder why they plucked him out to be the bachelor. Like, they must have, like, maybe that was a feature of it. Oh, like, let's watch him crash and burn. Probably not, but
probably who knows? So.
Crash and burn.
Probably so. That's going to be more drama. If he had no idea how to do this, then yeah. So then they cut over to Sarah is in her room all day trying to figure out if she should go home. And the women are talking about her all day and actually being very, very mean. Like, just not. Just mean about her character and not just about things she's done. And then she comes into the living room when the group date card arrives, which timing.
So she's hidden for the entire day or until the moment where there's a group date card. So she knows when she needs to, when she's needed.
She comes in, she's like, "Skirt, I'm here."
Yeah. And then, you know, she thinks it's a good time. She's like, "Let me just, you know, scoot on the couch." And they just like all stare at her like not a good time. But they take this time then to vent and let their frustrations out. And they tell her that they hope that her connection with Matt is good because her life in this house is going to be horrible from now on. Like, very mean. I don't understand where exactly this is coming from.
Yeah, I think this is the first time I've seen the entire house hate on someone, like, openly, like, amongst each other.
And you can really get ganged up on.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just... vicious, you know, and not okay to do. I mean, she did not make the right decision, maybe. Mm-hmm. And she's trying to come apologize, but the girls could have a little, you know, show some empathy,
some class.
Yeah.
Or like some of them could, at least some of them could. They don't all have to gang up on her. But actually, Katie later, she's from Renton, so go Washington, but she goes and talks to Sarah separately, and Sarah does open up and, you know, explains that her dad has ALS and she's not sure if she should stay. And, you know, Katie really connects with her, and, you know, Sarah has decided to go home, and then she goes and tells Matt that she's going to go home too. I'd say he was kind of upset about that, but I think she made the right decision for her you know, well-being and for her family.
I agree. I think she definitely did.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, Matt was definitely upset. Yeah, go Katie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's like the only one who can be mature throughout, like, all of this.
And then this next week, she also just reaffirms that she's the only one that actually cares about the other women, time and time again, actually, in this most recent episode. So, you know, this episode starts off with, you know, Sarah self-eliminated herself. And so, the rest of the women that were supposed to go on that group date go on the group date, and Victoria's like, yeah, the trash took itself out, which is not nice to say. No, and she's like, you know, Katie's like, yeah, she decided to go home, and starts clapping. Like, how rude.
Yeah, it was very so obnoxious. Bad.
Yeah. And Katie, you know, tells all of them that there's no need to talk about it. People who are no longer living there. Makes sense. Like, just move on, keep moving. Be happy that there's one less woman there, right?
Yeah. So Katie's like, please stop. You know, there's no point talking about her now that she's gone. And then, you know.
Well, yeah, it's petty. It's just
very petty. And was it Victoria? I think she's like, no, I'll do whatever I want. Like, she like retorted, and she always has to get the last word in too, Victoria. Uh-huh. So then they pretty much had like a little.
Well, she wanted Katie to apologize to her because she shut her down while she was expressing herself.
Yeah.
And Katie's like, there's a big difference between name calling and expressing yourself. Right. And again, I was like, yes, Katie.
Yeah. Good job. The whole world was clapping during that moment.
And Katie did not apologize.
Right. Well, because she didn't need to.
Yeah.
She wasn't doing anything wrong except for acting mature, which is what none of the other girls apparently can do right now. So
everyone else is bowing down to Victoria and just like standing behind her, probably because they're scared of her.
Yeah, they don't want Victoria like bullying them, so they're just like following the leader.
Probably they don't want to be on her list. Mm-mm.
Yeah, Eventually they will be though. So they just got to realize that and just start coming up with their own opinions about things on their own.
True.
So next up is the rose ceremony, but plot twist, he's talking to Victoria and then all of a sudden Chris Harrison comes and butts in, which Chris Harrison is the only person that could butt in on Victoria and she would not put up a fight.
Yeah, he'd get away with it.
Like everyone else, she's like, no, the queen needs her time. But like Chris Harrison comes in and she's like, oh, this means business. I have to listen to, he's the king of The Bachelor, basically. So he has to listen. Yeah. So, you know, he's like, I need to talk to Matt for a while. So they go to the front of the resort and plot twist, the women think that Sarah's coming back. They see a limo in the driveway and they're like, she better not be coming back in this house. You know, so, so mad. But instead there's five new women. Brittany, she's 23, Chicago, from Chicago and a model. Michelle, she's 27, Minnesota, a teacher. Mm-hmm. Ryan, 26, a dancer from New York. Catalina, 29, former Miss Universe Puerto Rico from New York. Mm-hmm. And Kimberly, 28, ICU nurse from Los Angeles.
Yeah, so they just dropped like five more women on Matt. And so they took Matt away from the date with Victoria and they introduced him to five other women. I'm just like laughing inside. I'm like, ah, karma.
No, you were outwardly laughing, Brian. You were not laughing on the inside.
I was like, yeah, that's true.
He looked like he looked utterly shocked and surprised and also like, oh my, what am I going to do now? Like, as if he wasn't struggling enough, the producers were like, here, have some more fun.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, all the girls are like, you know, this is not fair. Okay, first of all, this is a reality show. None of it's fair. The producers can do anything they want. There's no rules.
All it's not fair. In love and war.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, Victoria says she wants to talk to Catalina. Catalina is the former Miss Universe Puerto Rico. She's wearing her sash and she's wearing a crown. So she's like, I want to talk to you. And she's like, well, actually there's only one queen in this house. And she takes the crown off of her head and puts it on her own.
Yeah.
And Victoria's crowns are not even real.
Like, yeah. And it wasn't like, you know, like consensual, like here, you could try it on. She literally just like grabbed it off her head. It was bad. It was like, it was
disrespectful.
Aggressive.
That's really disrespectful. I was
appalled. Yeah, it was really bad.
And she like put on her head and then she like didn't even give it back to her. She just set it on the table. I was
that's right.
I was like, excuse me, this girl actually earned her crown. Like,
right.
You also wore a crown when you entered. So why can't she also? But, you know, Victoria's like, there's only one queen in this house. I'm not standing for this.
Yeah.
Right.
Then there's, you know, they talk, he meets some of the new girls, actually four of them stay, but, you know, one of the new women leave, but Victoria's still there, Catalina's still there, so there's still two queens in the house.
Uh-oh.
So, you know, that's going to be a disaster down the line.
True.
Next up, there's a group date with Ben Higgins, who's a former bachelor, and it's some sort of obstacle course. I don't know how they put together this obstacle course. It started with them going, they say it was 1,000-pound pumpkin canoes.
Those look pretty cool though. And I too did want to try to.
Yeah, that looks really
fun.
What
did you want to be like in one?
Yeah.
So what if you like get in the pumpkin and then, you know, you accidentally like put your shoe through it and then it starts sinking.
On water.
Wait, was it an actual pumpkin or was it like a pumpkin boat?
I don't know. I don't even think it was 1,000 pounds either.
I thought it was just, it looked like a plastic boat to me. But anyways.
Really? I thought it was like a real pumpkin. It would be really cool if it was a, you know.
Yeah. Well, yeah. So there's the pumpkin canoe and actually one of the women, Mari, actually got stuck in it. She never completed the obstacle course.
Yeah, she just got stuck in the middle of the lake. I guess she doesn't know how to row. She was like pushing her paddle forwards, right? And when you push your paddle forwards, you push yourself backwards.
Backwards.
So she's like, why am I going backwards? I'm like, oh my gosh.
So they get out of the pumpkin canoes and the next part of the obstacle course is put on a squirrel costume, naturally, because they're in the Pennsylvania wilderness, put on a squirrel costume. And now there's a giant pile of leaves. Mm-hmm. Go dig through this pile of leaves and find a piece of paper that is an acorn shape with your name on it.
Right.
And so that's what they do. And honestly, we got some good clips of Victoria digging through the leaves in a squirrel costume.
Yeah, not able to find her acorn.
Yeah,
that was some good TV. And yeah, that was an interesting date. I don't know how they came up with those obstacles, but good for them.
Yeah, Ben Higgins has got a list of dates set up for in his mind.
Ben Higgins is always ready.
Yeah,
he's always just like, Chris Harrison, I'm ready. I'm gonna quarantine for 2 weeks. I'm your man. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe he is the next Chris Harrison. We don't know.
Maybe.
Ooh, that's true.
So one of the women, Anna, actually claims that she knows one of the new women, mm-hmm. Brittany, because they're both from a little town called Chicago. You know, everyone knows everyone there.
Just tiny, a very, very tiny town. Yeah.
Everyone knows everyone. And she's been told by many people from Chicago that Brittany is an escort. And
one,
you know,
first of all, okay, she's like, I got so many emails about Brittany. How did they, all these people know that you both were going on The Bachelor? Like, I have some serious, and then why did they decide, I think I'm going to personally decide to email? Like, that just seems.
She was going to do a favor to Brittany and bring this up in front of all the women on the date.
There's no way that was true. That has to be false. Like, there's no way this girl.
Well, she asked Brittany, I've heard rumors that you're an escort, and Brittany just is like, I'm not an escort. Like, that should be the end of the story. Like,
yeah,
she shut it down there. Yeah, just move on. But she's like, oh, I got some real dirt. I gotta tell everyone about this. And like, first of all, that's not okay. Yeah, people have DM'd me and sent me emails. As if people even knew who she was before the show. Like,
yeah, she's acting like everyone out there is like, oh, I must tell her now.
But yeah, truth be told, she's not an escort, but that's not the end of it. But that should have been the end of it. Right. You know, yeah, it just wasn't good. So, because Katie talks to Brittany the next day and she basically tells her the women are a bunch of mean girls. When they're not attacking Sarah or whoever, it's, they just pick the next person.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. next one up.
The next one-on-one date is with another new woman named Michelle, and the other ladies are furious because a new woman gets a one-on-one, and they're like, I've been waiting for 3 weeks to talk to Matt, and she didn't decide. She didn't choose when she came on The Bachelor.
She didn't.
None of these women chose when they got to arrive out of the limo. They didn't choose who got the one-on-one date. Blame Matt. Don't get mad at the woman. Like,
also, I'm so tired of these girls sitting around saying, I haven't talked to Matt. And they just keep sitting around. And
I'm just waiting for Matt to talk to me. And then,
the pot.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, it's so great. Like, literally, the time they spent gossiping, they probably could go find Matt and talk to him. So,
honestly.
Yeah.
Gotta take initiative.
So they zip line, and then they also ride in a hot air balloon. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but the hot air balloon... it seemed to be tied to the ground.
Yes.
So they just floated up a little, like, you know, 10-20 feet. They kissed
and they pulled it back down.
Yeah, I did want to say though, this is the first kiss that Matt has had where his eyes were closed.
Did I miss that?
I mean,
maybe he was just too high up and he didn't want to like see like the altitude because he might have like gagged or something. Who
or maybe
knows?
He, you know, he was in the hot air balloon and like the flame was right above. He's like, maybe I should close my eyes just in case.
Yeah.
He didn't want to see how high up he was. Also, he didn't want to get burned from the flame like an inch above his head.
And I was honestly, when they were kissing in the hot air balloon, I was really worried because he was leaning.
Why were
like,
you worried?
He was leaning. Like
he's
the
like
girl,
pushing, he's like,
he was, Brian
he's
like
was
pushing,
like,
he's like
pushing
kissing this girl
and
he's pushing her up against like the edge of the hot air balloon. And you know, they're like a little basket thing that they're sitting in at the hot air balloon. I'm like, she's gonna like just fall out of the basket if you keep pushing her like that direction. There goes your date. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so bad. But then again, in the back of my mind, I'm like, there's no way they'd show this on TV if this happened. So
it reminds me of some like Curious George book or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, so, you know, they actually really connected. I think that she's currently a front runner. I said that about Sarah a few weeks ago, but I think that he and Michelle.
Yeah, they have a good connection.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think she seems like very real and normal, and she's not there to play games or.
And also, like, they asked the question, like, how many kids do you want? And they're like, 1, 2, 3, 3. And they both shouted 3. And so for that right there just sold Matt. And he's like, that's it. That's all I need to know.
Maybe he was like, I'm in love.
Yeah. And they're, you know, she's a teacher. He works with kids. And so they also have that to connect on as well. The next date is a group date and they fight for love again.
Yeah, that went wrong fast.
Yeah, they box each other until one of them gets clocked in the nose and then Matt shuts it down.
Like, I don't know what they expected. Like, they put like protective headgear on and everything, but obviously no one wants to be the one that gets like hit. So they're actually hitting each other, you know, actually trying. And, you know, some of it was coordinated. Some of it was just very sloppy.
I think I would self-eliminate at this point and be like, if you really want your wife to hit other people, box the other people, I'm not the one.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't want to get hurt.
I'm over The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, like them doing those types of
The competitive events, they always go wrong. Like, even if it's like lacrosse or like soccer or something or football, like someone always gets hurt. But
I mean it's better than in Claire's season slash Tayshia's season,
they had some naked dodgeball thing or whatever. Right?
Well, they did that, and then they also had the guys fight, didn't they have them fight? And
I think so.
Oh, they did fight. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did some sort of like.
There's only so many dates you can do in quarantine, so they have to repeat.
I guess, but I feel like that's just not a nice date.
Can't you just have like a chess tournament or something?
Brian, do you think that all these women know how to play chess?
I hope so. Maybe we could change it to checkers, or you know, have like a Sudoku.
Backgammon. You know, what's next?
Yeah. Who knows? Have a Jeopardy tournament.
There you go.
Chinese checkers.
Yeah. Well, all the women on the date are making, there's all original women. No, none of the new women are on this date. And they start making fun of the new women. Like, you know, how could they do this? And like, we're so much better than them. Like, we actually have connections with Matt, and like most of them have never even talked to him before.
Mm-hmm.
And Katie, again, comes out and says, you know, they need to just accept that they're now in the house and welcome them, which I appreciated. But the women just, you know, just started laughing. Like, welcome them. How could we do that? How could we do such a kind thing? That's not us. So, you know, Katie goes and tells Matt that the bullying and the rumors need to stop, or they could actually ruin someone's lives forever. Woo-hoo, and so she encourages him to talk to everyone about this the next day. This is the end of the episode for this week, but I again, really like Katie at this point.
Katie's going out of her way to stand up for people and it's not necessarily advantageous for her to, you know, be the person standing up, especially if she's standing up all by herself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, yeah, it shows character.
She's not necessarily being the person who's being bullied or bullying or spreading the rumors, but she's saying, this is ridiculous. Like, I mean, you know, like, this is ridiculous. Like, this isn't high school. This isn't, you know.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes when contestants insert themselves into drama like that, then
it comes off wrong.
Yeah. But I think she's been doing a good job of like telling Matt, this is what's happening. You're clueless, so I have to tell you.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. And I like the fact that she didn't name names, because when you name names, it always comes off as like he said, she said, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just said, you know, as a matter of a principle, address the fact that, you know, this could be a toxic bullying environment.
Right. So I think that was very, once again, very mature of her. She just is showing that she's kind of above the rest of the girls in that way.
Yeah. And the rest of, I mean, maybe there's other girls that also feel the same way, but are too afraid to come out of the shadows of Victoria and the other, you know, people who are being actually mean. So
this might be like a Disney movie where at the very end, they all stand up to the bully and they praise each other. And none of them go out with Matt. Nah, the producers wouldn't have that.
No, that'd be too nice. Yeah.
But that's all the episodes we have, you know, so far. Do you guys have any, you know, favorites, top people who potentially might win or get engaged?
I'm not sure who's going to win overall, but I will say I'm personally rooting for Katie because she seems like a nice person and she's from Washington. I got to root for all the Washington girls now.
There's only one, but yeah.
Yeah, there's only one left. But I'll root for Katie and we'll see. He hasn't really had that much time to develop a lot of connections with people yet. So we'll let this play out a little bit. I really don't know the other girls. So right now Katie's the front runner, but I'm not.
Even she hasn't had that much time with Matt.
No, you know? No. She got interrupted by Sarah, remember?
I just feel like this whole season has been more about the drama and less about what people actually watch the show for, which is like the dates, you know, like the connections, like they want
falling in love,
the character, romance,
you know, like people want to see that part. I just feel like so far it's just been like a bunch of like unnecessary. I'm like, this is too much. I almost don't even want to watch because it's like not even, it's entertaining, sure, but it's just like, okay, but I don't know anything about Matt. You know,
that's the thing.
I don't know anything about him.
If I was not in quarantine, I would probably not watch, but there's nothing else to do. So
they get default ratings. There you go.
I'm like,
I like Katie as well. I also like Michelle and I also like Abigail.
Mm-hmm. Oregon girl.
Mm-hmm. I wish that she could have more time, but who knows what, you know, the editing and stuff is there, but.
Right, she could be having time behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think there are some good girls there. It's just going to take a lot of, like, you know,
weeding out the bad ones.
Yeah.
It's going to take a while, and he's also not the best at figuring out who is telling the truth and who the actual good people are. So I think that some good people that we like potentially could go home.
Right.
Yeah, and there's still, like, what, 15 women at least still.
I think so there's, like, 20.
Or 20, yeah. And, you know, once it gets down to, like, 10 or 8 or, you know, a number that's a little bit more manageable, mm-hmm. and you can actually learn the personalities of these, then it we'll probably see a little bit more of a clear front runner.
Let's hope.
Yeah.
I hope so.
But, Elise, thank you so much for joining us. It's always so nice to have you on the podcast. And...
Yeah.
We always appreciate your opinions on all subjects, including The Bachelor.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I love coming on. So anytime. Thank you.
All right.